The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about the state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson.
Good morning, Jefferson. How are you this morning? This is Terry Raposa, and I'm along here with Ashley. We're waiting on Wynn, and with everything going on in the area with the fires, et cetera, he might be a little late. Oh, I see him coming in now. Anyway, I wanted to personally thank, and I think I speak for, gosh, everybody in the community, you guys out on the lines, you men and women that are out there fighting this fire, God bless you all, and we're praying for you. It's just been fantastic how you guys have gone out there risking your lives, risking, you know, being away from family, being in a position to where everything for you is out there on the line for all of us. And we appreciate it. We love you and we're praying for you. And I wanted to tell a very quick story, if I may. I went to get gas on Thursday morning and I ran into a gal who was pumping gas to me next to me. And she was talking to her husband on the phone. And her husband's a firefighter. She said he came home, slept for 3 hours, grabbed some things, kissed her goodbye, and said that he'd be back in 72 hours. And I said, well, God bless him. What's his name? And his name is Patrick. So firefighter Patrick, I know my family's praying for you. But that's just the epitome of, you know, the families, also the firefighters, where these guys are out there giving their all and doing everything they have to do to keep people safe. The families, I know that this young lady was certainly concerned about her husband, but, you know, any kind of words of encouragement, anything we can tell these folks is the least we can do. Also, there's been a lot of information that's come across. There's a couple things that we'll want to talk about this morning about Jefferson, of course, but the main thing is that if you have anything or any information that's new on the fire or you want to call in, please do it. 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Wynn, how are you, my good friend?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good, and thank you for the other night. Wynn Carpenter opened his home to us and Penny Garland. Penny came from is the Mary Lake area.
Mary Lake area.
And Penny came and stayed with us. Good news. And one other thing, too, I think that's a real key. Folks, if you want to know what's going on with your home and you have an answering machine, an old-time answering machine or something that will answer, not just jumping to voicemail. But if you have an answering machine at your home, call your home. If that answering machine's working, then that means that you've got electricity, which means your house is there.
Yeah, well, and it means that they haven't cut it off.
And they haven't cut it off, and they haven't cut off the electricity. And I know Penny called a little while ago, and Penny Darling got herself answering herself. She does that anyway, I noticed.
It's always good to hear your own voice.
Yeah. She talks to herself a lot.
Voice of reason.
Just kidding. We love Penny. She's the person who puts the Jefferson Messenger together for us, and she's just a delight. Anyway, Wynn, thank you for the other night for the hospitality, my good friend.
It was fun having a slumber party with you.
It was. We had a good time, huh?
We did.
We laughed a lot.
We did. It was good. And, you know, we were praying for everybody and just couldn't believe all the stuff that was going on, watching the TV, just watching the same footage, it seems like. But, I mean, how can you not? I mean, it is what it is. You know, you're watching what's going out there, hoping for tidbits of good news, like, you know, it's out. It's going to go out. It's going to go out quickly and nobody else gets hurt. Praying for those who have been hurt, harmed, killed, what have you. It's awful, you know, awful at best.
It is.
And the sad part is, you know, who knows what can be done to prevent that. I mean, you know, we're not firefighters by any means, but it's just sad. It's really sad.
No, you know, it's like, you know, the Patrick, the firefighter that, I met, what a nice lady. But I mean, she was so, I mean, think about that, you know. Think about it, you know, you don't know where your wife is, you know, or you don't know how safe she is, you know, where she is. Well, you really don't know.
You don't know.
Because he could be anywhere out on that line. He just said, I'll see you in 72 hours. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what these guys do. Well, getting to some business, tomorrow night.
We are having our meeting. We want everybody to understand that we are having a meeting,
absolutely,
trying to keep everything as normal as possible.
Yeah, we got Ben Berquim who called this morning.
Oh, then it won't be normal.
It won't be normal. Ben's coming. But he'll be coming. He'll be our guest tomorrow night. He's coming up from, I think, Placer County?
No. He comes from Fresno area.
Fresno area,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's coming up tomorrow. We'll be at 2570 Bonneview Road at the church that we...
The only church on Bonneview.
Yeah, we'd like to say the name, but we...
We've been asked not to say the name.
So we won't say the name, but it is a church.
We won't say the name so that you all know that there's a church there you can attend, but they don't want you to know the name. But you can come see us and participate with us in Jefferson.
My apologies in advance. If we're a little worn out and snarky, we've been breathing smoke for the last few days.
Like everybody else.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
So you can all be snarky with us.
Yeah, we're kind of being snarky. But anyway, and I think we're probably going to have Mark Baird calling in here or Dave Tichonell. They had a town hall in Mariposa County. Which, of course, is that's right next to Yosemite, and there's a big fire going on there.
Yeah, their fire was rivaling. It was actually larger than ours,
a
little bit, and then ours doubled overnight. So
yes.
They're a much smaller community and county. They have far fewer people than we do, far fewer. I think they're like around 30,000 people in the entire county.
If that.
It's a very small county as far as population goes. And they're fighting the fight, and they're doing their... They're doing their thing there, and it sounds like we have Stonewall.
We
on,
do. Stonewall
was actually
Tichonell.
The speaker out there.
He
at
was.
The little meeting. So, good morning, Stonewall. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
So far, so good.
I'm glad you're staying safe from the fire. We're all following what's going on up there. Down here, of course, we have our own fires to worry about. And I was in Mariposa County last night, and they're still dealing with a fire that just reached 50,000 acres and providing a lot of smoke for us down here, and it's mingling with your smoke. So the whole state is pretty smoky right now.
Oh, man. It's scary. And everybody's doing okay down there as far as you know?
Yep, everybody's really good. Went down to Mariposa last night for a town hall organized by Ray and Karen Breezy and their great crew that they have down there. We held it at the Mariposa County Fairgrounds in the Redbud Room. It was very nice. It was almost like a miniature fundraiser. They had lots of gift baskets and door prizes and all kinds of great food, finger food and cakes and cookies and all that kind of stuff. And for as hot as it was down there, it was probably, I don't know, maybe 103 degrees as me and Gunny were heading down there. Those of you that don't know him, Gunny is Aaron Nazaro, my right-hand man in Tuolumne County, Jefferson. And we took a ride down there in really hot weather. We got there. It was pretty warm, but people started showing up. And I think we had a crowd of just about 50 people. I heard you talking about the size of Mariposa, and that county is pretty unique. You know, the only real city that they have or town that they have is the town of Mariposa. There's no other real outlying communities. There's some small subdivisions and some other smaller places, but it's a small county, and a lot of people move there from the Fresno and the Merced and Modesto area, and then of course Bay Area transplants too. But anyway, we had a really good meeting. I spoke for about an hour and covered from A to Z, and then we spent another 20 minutes or so doing question and answers, and then they of course gave away all their great gifts and raffles and stuff like that. But it was really worthwhile. I was really happy to see it. I helped get that county started just about a year ago. And as you're driving in now, you see signs and flags flying in all the rural farms and ranches and homes that you're going in there. So they're doing a great job, and my hat's off to the whole committee down there.
Wonderful. Well, that's great news, and thank you very much, brother, for going over there and sharing the word with them and getting the information out there, answering questions, and doing what needs to be done. That's awesome.
Yeah, the thing is having someone like Dave Tichonell. It was something that we talked about the other night or the other day. We were in Sacramento talking to eight organizations, most of which were Republican Central Committee leaders. Anyway, in talking with them, we made mention of all the folks in Jefferson that can go out and do these kinds of things. And a lot of times people who may not be as familiar with us, they'll hear maybe Wynn or myself on the radio or hear us on the YouTube or see us at a town hall or, of course, Mark Baird, all the great videos he has, all the great stuff. But, you know, there's probably about 100 people like Dave, and we affectionately call Dave Stonewall because he's our commander of the South.
General Stonewall.
These guys, and Gunny, Aaron is just a kick in the butt. You know, Marie, Karen and Ray Breeze. I mean, all these folks down there. Gosh, Ben, Brett Murphy, Leah. I mean, you go on and on, Mark Banks. All these different people that can go out and speak and do town halls. That's the beauty of this, is the position that all you folks have taken to get yourself educated, to go out there, so we have duplication and persistence. And that's why this message has spread so quickly. And Stonewall, my good, good friend, I want to thank you a lot. We've got Mark Baird on the other line. And thank you a lot, my good friend. Great job. And if you had 50 people out there, you probably had the whole county of Mariposa.
Darn near.
Okay, I'll be listening. Thanks a lot, guys.
Love you, brother.
Thank you. All right, now we're off to Mark. Good morning, Mark. How are you doing, brother?
Wasabi. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, can we turn this up? They've both been hard to hear. Thank you. Okay, can we hear you now?
Can you hear me now?
Can hear you now, yeah.
I can hear you now.
You got to use your yelling dad voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I'm a little smoked out for that, but
I'll... Oh, man, you and me both, yeah.
Yeah, so Howard, you guys weathered okay, I heard you say before, and I just want to say that our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of the firefighters that were lost, and the people, civilians that were lost in their homes, and all the devastation and destruction, and, you know, we just pray that everybody heals quickly, somehow we get a handle on this fire, and that life can go back to somewhat normal.
Right.
Well, I know this morning, when they did the briefing this morning, the first briefing we saw lasted quite some time. In fact, I don't think it got over till 9:30. Was that Saturday morning we watched it?
I think
you and I.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Saturday morning.
And then, yesterday morning. Yeah.
Yeah, and then this morning they got going. They got out of there at 7:30, and
everybody got the FaceTime. Now they're going to go to work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the thing is that, you know, we have to, these great people, there's 3,300 and something out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we love you guys. Whatever you need. Again, the most important thing is that information that we get is accurate.
Right.
And I do have to say my good friend Kelly Frost has been just, he's been stellar. What a great guy.
They've been all over that.
He's been great. Yeah. And
he's been so frustrated with, you know, this, that, or the other, but that's part of the process. You know, when you're getting information, is it right? I don't know. Right. Well, then I don't want to tell anybody, you know, because he doesn't want to be that guy, you know, and he's being very careful.
Maybe someone can answer this question. Maybe, Mark, you can answer this question, because I know you have a lot of background when it comes to land issues and it comes to water issues and stuff. Maybe you can answer this this particular question. When they talk about containment, that question was asked, you know, because when you look at something where you have a fire that goes from 40,000 acres to 80,000 acres, and it goes from 3% containment to 5% containment, how does a fire double and the containment go up? I mean, so that must run on a certain formula. The way I understood it when we heard the someone from Cal Fire explain it at a town hall they did last night at Alta Mesa School, he explained it that, let's say you have a line of 100 miles, and 5 miles of that 100-mile line, you actually are holding. You're holding that line. You don't feel that line's a threat. You're actually in good shape to control that 5 miles. That would be considered, say, 5%. Is that the way that works, Mark, or how does that work?
Well, containment, loosely defined, is a fire line down to mineral soil.
Hey, Mark, we're having trouble hearing you.
We're having a hard time hearing you,
okay,
man.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, talk right into that thing.
Yeah, a little bit better.
Okay, I'll try to be louder. Containment is loosely defined as a line that's dug down to mineral soil. So if you have a line that you're digging or dozing or however it's going, you know, you're using bulldozers or whatever tools you have in play, hand crews, if you have dug down to mineral soil and the fire's not crossing that line, that's considered containment. So you can have a line that's a mile long, and you know, 3 days later, your line is 5 miles long around the heel of the fire, but the head might still be expanding and burning even more acreage. So it's possible for containment to go up, but the size of the fire can go up dramatically, even though your containment efforts are going up at the same time.
Ah, okay, that's a great explanation. Thank you so much, because I know there was a lot of us they're questioning that, and there seems to be another thing, and maybe someone else can call in about this, because I just heard on the news that Shasta Lake is not being evacuated, Shasta Lake City. Yesterday they said it was being evacuated. The sheriff came on and said, well, there was a mistake saying it was being evacuated, but we sort of left it out there in case it has to be evacuated. So we're trying to, does anybody know if Shasta Lake City is being evacuated or not? If somebody has an answer to that, please call 605-4567, 605-4567, because there seems to be a lot of issues with the information we're getting. And again, it's one of those things where, you know, people want to know, and we have to be accurate. And I wasn't really excited with the sheriff's answer, frankly, but it looks like we have the phone ringing. Let's see who that is.
Well, either way, you know, getting the information out there, we're doing far better now with the television coverage. Channel 7 has been stellar. That crew over there, I mean, going 24/7, and even their sister stations, you know, from Eureka and from Chico and from other locations have come in to help out. They sent up crews from each one of those different stations that they could afford to send up, and they're helping out by getting everybody giving everybody rest so that they can go back on the air and go back out in the field and show what's going on so that the public here and around stays informed.
Who was the reporter the other night that was out, gosh, I don't know, until about 12 o'clock midnight? She was fantastic for Channel 7. I wish I could remember her name, but she was very, very good. It was I believe it was Friday night. Just amazing.
They all kind of run together.
She drove everywhere and was very, very good. And in fact, all the reporters that have been out in the field, the gals that have been out there have done a great job. So anyway, we do have Clark on the line.
Good morning, Clark.
Good morning, guys. My sister-in-law lives in a senior trailer park off of Shasta Dam Boulevard, and the name of it is Twin Lakes. She went out there last night to see if she could get some stuff out of her home, and she drove down Shasta Dam Boulevard, drove right to the Twin Lakes Trailer Park, which is just about a mile. It would be a mile east of where Lake Boulevard comes in. So it hasn't been, as we understand it, she was there last night, and she was until about 8:30, quarter to nine.
Okay.
So Shasta Lake hasn't been evacuated.
Okay. Well, that's good to know from that end.
Yeah. At least we have something.
Yeah.
But
I know, because that was the big thing on the media as far as the news coverage. You know, and the media, they were trying to report the accurate information, but they didn't know. Because they have to follow suit, and I know there's protocols and all that stuff that has to be followed, absolutely, and I agree and support that. But it seems like some of the links there, the ball was getting dropped in between the agencies so that whoever needs to announce it, whether it be it the sheriff or whoever, somebody was not getting all the right information timely.
Well, I have a question. With all the resources that we've extended to the area, and for the gentleman yesterday that lost his wife and his two grandchildren, within a period of probably 30 minutes to an hour, he went to the grocery store, according to the newspaper this morning, went to the grocery store, came back, and the road was closed, and he was talking to the kids, and the fire was coming through the back door. With all the resources that we have, how come this happened? I don't understand how that can happen.
I don't know.
Well, you have to realize that these fires are so, you know, they have a life of their own. In other words, a fire can spot out in front of a line or a line of fire. And
yeah, you know, I understand that. As a kid, I used to work for the Forest Service and fought fires. I was on the Haystack Fire in 1955.
Stop them.
I understand the fires, and I understand what's going on. I don't understand My question probably will never be answered, but I don't see how that happened, where that fire within 30 minutes overcame those people. Anyway, I'll listen on the road or on the radio, guys. Talk to you later. Bye bye.
Thanks, Clark. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, the fire creates its own weather pattern. It's an animal unto itself, and it goes where it goes. I mean, there's no, obviously, clearly, there's no controlling it. And that's the scariest part of all fire. Just, I have a healthy fear of it, not respect.
Well, besides
fear
that,
of it.
It burns at such a temperature that things get so hot, especially dry fuel like a house. I mean, when you look at a house, it's a dead tree that's really, really dry, maybe dry for 50, 60 years that material's been drying out, and it'll literally spontaneously combust if enough fire and enough heat gets close enough to it. So, and it's the craziest thing. And sometimes you just can't defend against these things. You just don't know where they're going to go minute to minute. And so if you're not constantly looking in exactly the right place, you know, you're just not going to catch that kind of movement or that structure combusting. And it's just the saddest thing in the world, but gosh, get out. If it's close, just get out. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing in that house worth your life, and you can't stop it with a garden hose. There's no way.
No. Hey, you know, they just had a little chuckle. Ashley's great, our producer. She's wonderful. Anyway, what's happening, I don't know, we don't know why, but it seems like, you know, one person's talking, it's real quiet, and the next person talking is real loud. And she's sitting there, and This board is doing, I mean, the girl,
she's doing what she can.
She's doing exactly what she can. It's just kind of humorous to see. I mean, she's got this, like, great, really peaceful personality to see her. If the board was a person, she would have socked it. She would have punched. She's throwing punches now at the board. Anyway, we have another caller on the line. Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. The thing about Shasta Lake City, I have a grandson and my pastor, Terry, both lived there, Pastor Terry, right there off of, Oasis, the other street farther up, not Oasis. But anyway, my grandson lives off of, Ashby.
Right.
Up there. All that has been evacuated since yesterday.
Okay.
Matter of fact, it was evacuated Wednesday.
That was Summit City.
They were allowed back Thursday,
right.
And it's been re-evacuated
right.
again.
Right.
So
but
depends
that,
on where you're at,
right.
Shasta Lake City is what's going on.
Bob, yeah. Summit City is where that is, and that was evacuated. We knew that.
Yeah.
What people are wondering about is Shasta Lake City. See,
oh,
where, and that's what the deal is. So we knew about Summit City, and again, when the sheriff answered that question, he said, well, yeah, it was wrong to begin with, and then we went back, but we decided not to change it because we wanted to have people being ready. Okay, but there is a difference between a mandatory evacuation and giving you the heads up. I mean, it's good to have the heads up, but I think if I'm in Shasta Lake City, I want to know if I have a heads up or I've got to go now, you know,
well, right
as
now,
evidenced by what happened to that grandmother and the two kids.
Well, and right now in Redding, if you're anywhere in Redding, then...
Bob, we can't talk at Bob. Bob,
I'm very yeah.
We can't talk at the same time.
And number one, we cannot hear you. You're going to have to speak into your phone.
All right, I'll talk to you this Monday. Have a good.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Sorry, I mean, for some reason we can't hear it in here. Maybe you on the radio can hear it, but we're having great difficulty hearing our speakers, our phone callers, and we're apologizing for that because. There's nothing that we can do on this end, apparently. I mean, right now with what we have going, we apologize. But it is scary. You know, we all live here in Redding area, and the fire's going. You've got to be on high alert. No matter where you live, you have to be on high alert. I live on the far west or far east side, and we're on alert because we have embers landing in our yard all day long. We had papers landing in our, you know, burnt papers landing in our yard. So we have a comp roof on our house. Yeah, I'm out there kind of checking things out every once in a while and walking the yard and watering the lawn a little bit more, you know, making sure things are, you know, being checked out so that we're all safe. So it just takes, you know, it takes all of us to be more aware, you know. Yeah, the smoke is horrible and you want to stay in as much as possible, but go outside every once in a while and just kind of assess what's going on with your house and your neighbors and look around the neighborhood. Look out, you know, if you live somewhere where you can see far away, do that. Just keep your eyes, you know, keep your head on a swivel and keep your eyes peeled And
when you brought up a really good point there, because, and we say this all the time, we are all as individuals and citizens responsible for ourselves and for our own defense, and the government bears no responsibility to defend us except in the most general sense, which the fire commands are trying to do and the sheriff's department's trying to do. But they're not all seeing, they're not all knowing, they can't possibly be, even if they wanted to be. And so we're all responsible for our own lives. And that's one of the things that we always talk about, not only with liberty, but it's also true with life and property. We have to be self-aware. We have to be aware of our surroundings, our situation, what's going on around us, who's going on around us, and just, take some general care when you know a situation's fluid. Be proactive, be alert, be aware, be prepared. Okay. And do the best you can, because if you're depending upon the government to save you from anything, you're setting yourself up for failure. And they're trying. They're doing their best. They're good men and women. They're working hard. They're working tirelessly, 20 hours a day sometimes. But they're not omnipotent. They're not omniscient. They can't be in all places at all times, and they can't think of everything all the time. It's just physically impossible.
Right, right.
It's incumbent upon us as citizens and adults and human beings to be self-aware enough to know when to stay and when to go.
Ashley had something she needs to say. We had something come up in the chat room before we all got going there. Go ahead, Ashley.
Actually, I'm looking at the Shasta County Sheriff's page, which has the list of road closures and evacuations under the mandatory evacuation orders. They still have all of Shasta Lake City listed. So to answer that question, according to the sheriff's page, under the mandatory evacuation orders, Shasta Lake City is listed still.
Right, and okay. That was the comment he made yesterday at Alta Mesa School. He said it wasn't mandatory, but they left it on the list, as Mark said, because we all need to be prepared.
Right.
But yes. I think sometimes
the official list right now says get out.
Yeah.
Get out. And you know what? It doesn't do any harm to get out.
No. No, it doesn't.
Save your bacon, get out. And thing is, you know, we've had enough wildfires here. That's where we live. We live in the wildfire territory. So when this happens, you know, your spidey sense kicks in. The hair on the back of your neck kicks in. You do what you need to do. And it's self-preservation. And like Mark is saying, it's individual responsibility. You've got to do it. And if you're responsible for others, you definitely have to do it.
Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to go off to a break, and then, Mark, when we come back, there is some news on the court case, and if you could share that with all of us, that'd be great, Kumasabi.
Did we settle out of court?
Sure.
We're not settling out of court? Oh, come on, let us settle out of court, please.
Stop! The smoke's getting to him, man. He's reliving the 70s.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back in just a few moments.
Because time has come.
For 51.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
No, we did not start the fire. But
well,
it did get started somehow, somewhere, and I'm sure folks are figuring that out, and people
Sally.
That need to figure that out, that's great. They're getting it all taken care of, but gosh, what a horrific thing for everybody to go through. And if nothing else, that coming out of this, you know, even with all the tragedies that have unfolded, it's got to bring the community together. I mean, when you figure 38,000 minimum, that was just one number I heard, 38,000 people have been displaced, evacuated, whatever. And then you have however many thousand that are affected that have truly lost their home. And then some of them lost everything because they were either out of town or weren't nearby. So they had no opportunity to go to their home to retrieve anything. So, I mean, you have all those levels of loss and horrific. It is. It's absolutely horrific. I can't imagine going through that. Prayers and thoughts go out to each and every one of those folks out there that are affected. It truly does.
This morning's numbers from CAL FIRE have 517 structures confirmed destroyed, with another 5,000 threatened by the fire right now.
And that's a drop from 534 yesterday.
Yeah. When I went to bed last night, it was listed at 536.
36.
Yeah. And it's down to 517. The number of damaged structures is up considerably.
Okay.
It was at 117. Now it's at like 135.
Okay.
But we have slightly fewer than last night.
Okay.
Confirmed destroyed.
Yeah.
But the number of threatened and number damaged are up.
Okay.
You're awesome, Ashley. You know, and that's the thing. Scary. Ashley has been doing this for KCNR. She's following. You do handle the Facebook, yes?
Yes.
Okay,
I just recently got permission to start posting on that so that I could keep all of the listeners up to date on whatever's going on in the fire. I've been watching all of that.
Well, I know for one thing, you can type faster than Carl.
You know what? In fact,
I can. My typing speed's pretty high.
One other thing before we get to Mark, and that is, Sally, you've been great. My wife has been amazing because she's been holding the line there. I'm more the type of guy. I'll walk around the outside of the perimeter of the house with a shotgun. But Sally is, she has been great there. She's been holding a lot of stuff together for folks. She's been, steady, making sure that the Patriot meeting is still going, making sure, for example, that we get music this morning, that people are informed about what's going on with Jefferson, and just has been great.
Keeping things normal as possible.
And she's been reading to me at night. She's actually reading Eugene Laverne's book, which is kind of fun. Because,
which weighs like 80 pounds.
Yeah, it does. And she gets excited about it. Then we have dialogue, and then finally she's having dialogue with herself because I'm snoring. But anyway, baby, thank you for all of that. And Mark, you've got some updates on the court case. We're all ears.
Well, we filed a petition for a writ of mandamus with the United States Supreme Court, as everybody knows. And by the way, I kind of apologize for talking politics during all this devastation, but maybe we can take our minds off that just for a second by talking about the court case and our hope for the future. That's why I'm okay with doing it, and I hope you guys agree with that.
Yes.
Amen. That's why we're here.
Yep.
So we have filed a petition for a writ of mandamus with the United States Supreme Court, and the petition we're not filing a writ of mandamus. We're asking a superior court, the United States Supreme Court, to file the writ. And if they agree with us and they file the writ, then they will be what a writ of mandamus is, an order from a superior court directing a lower court official, government official, peace officer, public official to do something specific. So we're asking the United States Supreme Court to direct the federal court to basically to do their job. And we've asked the Supreme Court two questions. And if they agree with our logic, then they'll issue the writ of mandamus. Now, the two questions we've asked them is, number one, is it permitted for a single trial judge to rule on the standing and essentially the merits of a lack of apportionment case, a lack of representation, voter dilution case? In other words, we're asking the Supreme Court, did the unanimous decision in McManus v. Shapiro, where the Supreme Court said no single trial judge can be trusted with the vote of the people, and that a single trial judge that receives an apportionment case, either state or federal, is bound to apply to the chief magistrate of the circuit and ask the chief magistrate to do one thing and one thing only. And here's what the circuit magistrate, here's what his only function in this is, to supply the names of two other judges. That's it. Not to say whether it's okay or not, not to say whether it's wise or a good idea, none of the above. The chief magistrate's only function is to supply the names of two other judges so that the trial judge can constitute a three-judge panel to hear a case regarding the vote of the people. And the reason for that is clear, because no single judge can be trusted with something so important as the weight of the people's vote. And we know in Citizens United versus House of Representatives that you have a material interest to protect the value of your vote. So that's question number one. Can a single trial judge rule on the standing? And really, when you rule on the standing, you're kind of ruling on the merits of a voter apportionment case. The second question we're asking is it appropriate for a trial judge to request intervention by another circuit that has not been briefed on the case? In other words, the trial judge asked the Ninth Circuit for advice regarding the impaneling of the three-judge court, and the Ninth Circuit, according to the trial judge, said, no, no, you just do it by yourself. Well, we're asking, is it appropriate, and is it preserving the independence of a judicial entity when they're asking another court to supply an opinion regarding a case for which they haven't been briefed? And if the Supreme Court says no to those questions, then we're asking them for a writ of mandamus to order the federal judge to appoint a three-judge panel. And that's what the writ of mandamus is going to accomplish. So we're going to try to force the federal court to do their job under the United States Code, Title 28, Section 2284, and with regards to the Supreme Court's directives to federal trial judges under Shapiro versus McManus.
Okay, Mark, like everything else, now can the Supreme Court ignore the request for the writ of mandamus from us?
Look, a court in the Federalist Papers and in the Founding Fathers' view and obvious views, even in their order in the Constitution, courts are supposed to be the weakest branch of government. First of all, the legislature is the first article in the United States Constitution. The president is the second, and the courts are the third. So, you know, they're third in importance of the branches of government. Yet, courts now are the most powerful branch of government because the legislature has abdicated their responsibility. The executive branch leans on them in order to enforce dictatorial orders. So here's the real answer. Here's the answer nobody wants to hear. You can't make a court do anything. You can't set a time limit on a court. You can complain. You can stamp your feet. You can ask for writs. You can do whatever you want. However, it's just not going to do anything. courts do whatever they want. So what we're hoping for is we have found a way to make a plea to the most powerful court in the nation, and we hope the least corrupt court in the nation. And having made that plea, we'll see what the court says, and quite frankly, that's about all we can do with that.
Well, that was great information. That was such a super explanation. And I'm really glad that we archived this and podcasted. And folks, if you're listening in right now, please let people know that we archive these, and please let them know how they can get to that. KCNR1460.com, you go to programs, you go to the archives and podcasts, and we're right there, 9 a.m. Sunday morning. And you can go back and listen for 2-3 weeks. In fact, I would say if you are hearing this program for the first time, the last 2 weeks, and last week especially with Mark, the last couple of weeks, and then you can go down and scroll down to the one. I think it was, do they say on the bottom what the programs are for? The one I'm looking for is the one with Gary Zerman. But anyway, the last 3 weeks.
I don't think they're labeled like
they
that.
They don't label them. They used archive. To. They don't anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, the last 2 weeks have been very, very good. And Mark, that was a fantastic explanation. I'm sure that Sally heard it, and you're going to be getting a phone call to do a video on what you just said. And, I'm sure that she's laughing right now. I can tell. She's sitting in front of the computer laughing, going, how did he know I was going to call Mark? but I'm sure that that's what she'll want you to do, because that was a great explanation. Oh, my gosh, that was perfect.
Yep. Very good.
Well, thanks. And, once again, just to reiterate, the reason we're doing this is because the government of the state of California, as it applies to the people, doesn't care what you think. They don't care what you want. They don't care what you need. And you don't have the representation to make them care. You don't have the representation to make them do a better job. You don't have the representation to stop the really stupid stuff like the banning of plastic straws and potentially 6 months in jail or $1,000 fine for a waiter or waitress that offers you a plastic straw without your specifically asking for it. You don't have the representation to say, I already pay enough for meat, and regulating cow farts is not going to change the environment. And why don't we just look outside today? What is the carbon footprint of a catastrophic wildfire like we had in Siskiyou County several years ago, 250,000 acres burned? In Shasta County now, lives lost, structures, hundreds if not thousands of structures lost, thousands, tens of thousands of acres burned. What is the carbon footprint of that? Does a cow fart dwarf in comparison with that? Are we really pleased with a legislature that spends their time talking about this idiocy instead of taking care of the real business and the real needs of Californians, instead of protecting our liberty, our rights to property, our rights to self-determination? What is the proper role of government? That's the question we're asking in Jefferson. Is it the proper role of government to tell you everything you think, everything you do, everything you say, every breath you take, and to regulate those things? Oh, and according to Jerry Brown, to continue to tax those things. Is that really the proper role of government? In Jefferson, we say, no, it isn't. And we're going to court to try to prove our point. And if we win, we're going to try to find a pathway to statehood out of that victory. I've said it 1,000 times. I've said it from the very beginning. There is no constitutional way to split a state in court. It's just not constitutional to do that. However, we're hoping that out of the court settlement or a court victory, we can force the state to consider our liberty and our statehood. And that's what we're hoping to do. And we're constantly planning and thinking and trying to get ahead of the situation so that we can force them to let us go if that's what it takes. And look, even the Ninth Circuit is starting to turn the Young versus Honolulu case, where the Ninth Circuit, a three-judge court, and by the way, that's not the end of it, because the Ninth Circuit being as a bunch of cracker barrel idiots that they are, they'll probably call for an in-bank panel and overturn this decision. But the circuit court in the Young versus Hawaii case declared that open carry is a right
protected under the Second Amendment. Open carry of an operable loaded weapon. The Nichols versus Brown case was awaiting the Young opinion, and they're trying to, Charles Nichols has been alone for years trying to declare that open carry of an operable loaded weapon is an inalienable right under the United States Constitution. And the state of California just keeps saying no, 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 a thousand times no. Is it the proper role of government to take your right to self-determination away from you and to turn you into a slave in the country your forefathers created? That's the question we're trying to get answered.
Well, that's great. And, you know, with all that information, I want to piggyback on something really quickly before I forget, okay? I don't want to get sidetracked, but I want to thank the El Dorado Group. They had a business showcase on July 10th. We went down there for that. It was wonderful, and they did a lot of stellar things to have this fundraiser. And the fundraiser was put together so that we could raise funds to aid in the court case. And that's where this is coming in. And I just want to kind of give you a heads up, because I received in the mail yesterday all the information that came with it, as far as, you know, the breakdown of what happened and how much they earned. So I wanted to give that really quickly so everybody hears it. The total from the showcase event of that day after expenses was $8,377. And then totals from individuals for the 501c3 match was $15,311.33. And then a total from the Calaveras County in match, because the neighboring county decided to match, of $6,455. And then the total match from the donors was from the specific donor who said that they would match, they would give $10,000 if all the matches met or exceeded that. And they did, so they gave the $10,000. And then a total from individuals under $100, so we had $131 there. So for a grand total for all those numbers, it came out to be $40,274.33 was netted from that event to go towards a court case.
Great.
So that's big news. So that's people out there. There are people out there that are fighting the cause, and they believe in everything that you just said, Mark. We're doing this because we believe in it, and we know it's right. We know it's the right thing to do. We had this generous donor step forward and put the money up for it, and challenged others to come forward and do this, and it created a venue to happen in order to make this money come forward. And what happened is it's making that community that much stronger down there. Yes, there were neighboring county visitors coming in there, and Terry, Sally, and I went down, and other people from other neighboring counties and even counties that don't neighbor that area went there to that event. And it was wonderful to see, because they were stepping up and they were taking the role of doing certain things, and having the auction, the silent auction, the live auction, the pie auction, or dessert auction, if you will. They had all kinds of things going on. They had things there for kids, and it was really a good event, and I really hope it gets replicated throughout the rest of the counties. But I just wanted to give a shout-out to them and say thank you very much for everything you guys have done. The funds are going to be passed on to the appropriate recipient as far as the treasurer to get everything deposited into the Pecan account, and then we're good to go. So I just want to say again, it was $40,274.33 that was brought in. So thank you very much.
Can you give the address of where to donate there, Wynn? Do you have that handy in a second here? We'll let Mark.
Regular donations, that's where it's all going to go to. It'll be if you want to donate, you can donate, and if you write checks, money orders, checks or money orders, you can write it out to SOJ Formation. SOJ Formation, or just SOJ, and you can mail it to P.O. Box 751, Palacedro, P-A-L-O-C-E-D-R-O, 96073. Again, Palacedro, 96073. Keep in mind, as we start receiving things here, I have a funny feeling that the post offices are going to be inundated for a while up here in Shasta County, because I know a couple of them have been closed, so most of the main mail is going to be going through the main branch in Redding.
Yes.
Even though Palisadero is an outlier, I assume that their mail goes through the main branch too. So it's going to be slow going with a lot of things here, and the mail will be one of those things. So please be patient with us and know that we are doing our best to get things in and out, you know, via mail or whatever. So those services are definitely going to be impacted. So I just want to give everybody a heads up. But, yes, you can mail it to P.O. Box 751 Palisadro, or you can go through our PayPal account at Jefferson PayPal account, or you can go to our GoFundMe account, Jefferson State of Mind, State of Jefferson for the GoFundMe account as well. And you can donate to your local county committees, and you can request that their county committee pass it on to us, and they do that. They're really good about that. So in any way you want to do it, make it happen. And we truly appreciate any and all help that we can get there, and we'll see what happens.
Mark, we've got about 4 minutes left. Well, what say you, my friend?
Well, I just want to once again just tell people, take care of yourselves, be aware of your situation, take care of your families, watch out for older parents. Let's have some situational awareness here. This fire situation is fluid. It's constantly changing. I think everybody is doing the best that they can, from the firefighters to the sheriff's department. And just take care of yourselves and watch the situation around you. It's important. If it's time to go, don't wait for an evacuation order. And remember, there are not enough police to protect you from everything. You have to protect yourselves. You have to be aware. You have to be responsible, and you've got to have that survival instinct. God bless all of you, and God bless the state of Jefferson.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, Mark, you be yep. safe out there flying over these yep. fires. You're just doing what you need to do, so just be safe.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything millions of other people aren't doing,
right.
But thanks, guys.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks, Mark. So, you know, the thing that a lot of people are looking at is different issues with looters and things like that. It looks like, Ashley, you have something, huh? You put that microphone over. What you got?
I just wanted to inform everybody that our air quality, which is normally best at this time of day, is actually at 192, which means we are currently in the unhealthy range, verging on the very unhealthy. So if you don't have a mask, consider staying inside. Make sure your car is on circulating air to filter it as much as possible, so you're not bringing in the smoke. And if you can, get to a higher elevation or get out. South has clearer air than north right now, but we're hearing reports of ash falling as far away as Reno. Sacramento is seeing it. Red Bluff is seeing it. Everyone is being affected by this smoke, so try to keep your air as clear as possible.
Ashley, you've been amazing. Thank you so much. Don't beat up that board. Quit hitting that. Cut it out. But
thank you.
She's been amazing. So anyway, one other thing, too. I know that keep your eye out. You know, there's a lot of these neighborhoods that have been evacuated. If you're near that neighborhood, or maybe you have neighbors that have evacuated, even though you're not on an evacuation alert, be aware that there are these guys on their ET bicycles with their little backpacks.
Well, to partner up with that, my son's friend was talking about one of her coworkers just bought a house. So they bought the house, and they're moving from an evacuated area or evacuation zone. They're moving from there to a new house. They pull up to their new house, and what happens? Two thugs rip stuff off out of their car at their new house.
Yeah.
It's like, are you flipping kidding me? So that right there, to me, qualifies as looting. And if that's the case, then what our district attorney said, she was going to penalize them to the maximum potential of the law as best she could. So when these guys are found, if anybody has cameras in the neighborhoods and you are aware of it, share that footage with the district attorney's office so that we can get these clowns caught and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Ashley just gave me a little note here saying that two looters have been arrested. But I know from my house, anyway, I could even give my address at this point, because I walk around with a shotgun and my neighbors give me the thumbs up. I'm a terrible shot with a pistol. But really, you know, when I have a shotgun with multiple rounds, I pretty much can hit anything at 30 feet.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I don't have much use for a pistol, but I've got a really passion for rifles, and especially my shotgun,
yeah,
Betsy. Yes. And so, you know, really and truly, I think that we wouldn't even worry about the ramifications at this point, because, you know, enough is enough with all
yep.
these ET bicycle tattooed pieces of crap that are riding around town
yep.
with their little backpacks at 1 o'clock in the morning What are they doing?
Looking
where are they going? Where are they coming from? You know, yep. I don't know about you folks, but I'm done. But that's a maybe I can get Red Smith worked up on this. Not, in fact, I think I will. Yeah, we've got about 45 seconds. Red, if you're listening, we want to get you worked up on that, buddy. And he's got Nick with him.
Oh, hey.
Okay, so when we leave here, folks, we're going to go out in the hall and talk to Nick and Red. So fasten,
boss. he already has worked out.
You bet. Okay, so you better fasten your seatbelts because Sovereign Mind's coming up, and we have In the Nick of Time with Red. But, oh my gosh, time has come.
You'll want to put on your filters for your ears. Don't let the kids be listening.
Time has come.
The time has come for 51.
Yes, sir. You don't serve us.